Area. We started last week, so go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, and we're going to go down to verse number 29. We're talking about and preaching about ordinary people with an extraordinary God, and the subject matter of this particular message was ordinary people with ordinary problems, but with an extraordinary, powerful God. Amen. And God is able to take the winds and waves of adversity in your life and to make you able to walk on them. Amen. Matthew 14, verse number 29. We're going to read 29 down through 32, and that will be the conclusion of this message. Amen. Everybody got 14 and verse 29. Read along with me, starting in verse number 29. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou..." Yeah, y'all supposed to read along with me here out loud. Out loud. Amen. All right. Yeah. So use some vocal cords and let's read this together. Starting in 29 again. Here we go. "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." How much we are like Peter and the disciples, that we are ordinary people, and it seems like we have ordinary problems, that out of the blue, those ordinary problems seem to catapult into extraordinary problems. The winds and the waves came, and we talked about how we're using them to represent how adversity comes to you. But then Jesus comes along and enables him to walk on that which he feared the most. Amen. The water. And praise God, God can do the same thing to you and I. Why? He's an extraordinary God. Amen. And you and I are ordinary people. There is nothing spectacular about our power, about our abilities. Amen. But through the power of God, God can transform anything. Why? He's an extraordinary God. Genesis says, "I am the Almighty God." Exodus says, "I am that I am." Amen. He can be what he needs to be for us. And as we look at concluding this area today, I don't know what winds and waves are blowing against you and threatening your life, but I do know they will come. And they will come sometimes automatically unannounced. And you find the disciples here in obedience to Christ getting across the sea. And the end result is God expected them to go to the other side. And one of them was able to walk on water. Amen. And forevermore pinned down in history as the only man that we know of that walked on unfrozen water next to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let the Lord Jesus Christ do the same with you, with your problems that have turned from ordinary problems to extraordinary problems with his extraordinary power. Father, thank you once again for just being a gracious God, an all-knowing Savior, and a mighty deliverer. God, work in our midst today. And Lord, I pray that if there's one under the sound of my voice that has these problems that have seemed to develop from ordinary problems, and now they seem to be extraordinary problems, out of control like the winds and the waves, that Lord, they might turn to you for a healing. They may turn to you for, Lord, the working of these problems, because they seem to be out of our control as the wind and wave was out of the control of the disciples. Peter had the guts to ask to come and to walk on the water, Lord. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be able to come to you. And Lord, asking you to work in us to come to you. And Lord, in coming to you, we will have that ability to rise above the winds and the waves of adversity that seem to come in our lives unexpectedly. Lord, I do pray that when it's all said and done, that, Lord, we will leave here differently than we came. Lord, some may need to accept Christ as Savior today and be born again. Others may need to just step out in faith, trusting Jesus Christ to walk over the problems that have escalated in their own lives. Some may just need to stay afloat, Lord, trusting in you by faith as they continue walking over those problems, Lord. All it takes is us to take our eyes off of you, take our gaze off of you, and take our focus off of you. And, oh, God, how quickly we'll go under. But help us to focus today on you and you alone. Bless now in the service. And Lord, bless through the song that will be sang. Help us to do our debt level best to focus on Almighty God. Lord, you may lift us up above the winds and the waves of life and save lost souls today. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. And Ms. Antoinette is going to sing.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Antoinette, appreciate the message in the song. Amen. By the way, if the Lord Jesus Christ touches you, he's going to make you whole. Amen. And what a blessing that is. Well, we're continuing talking about this area, ordinary people with ordinary problems with an extraordinary, powerful God. Amen. And, you know, if we have a God like that, why be overcome with problems? Amen. And by the way, problems oftentimes make us turn to God and call upon him for his goodness and his grace. And we did say this about this area here. The ship can represent your life and my life. The wind and the waves can represent problems of life that seem to crop up out of nowhere. And Peter can represent the victorious Christian overcoming problems by faith, stepping out on the wind, stepping out on the wave there, and having the ability to overcome by the power of God. And starting this whole area off, I gave you some tips here that we could draw from the Lord Jesus Christ's life here. Go back to verse 22 with me. And these are some tips to be prepared when the winds and the waves come. By the way, will the winds and waves of adversity come into your life? Yes. Are they going to come into my life? Yes. And Brother Matthew did a very, very, very good job of talking about discouragement. When winds and waves come, sometimes we are going to get discouraged. Amen. Just chalk it up. It's going to happen. Amen. But it's what you do with your discouragement. Amen. Don't stay in it. Don't have a pity party. Amen. Especially when you got a powerful God. Amen. God delights in rescuing you and I. The one thing that God doesn't want us to do is not to call upon him for help. Amen. And there's no shame in that. One of the first tips that we said that we can prepare for the winds and waves of life is in verse 22. We can consider the value of the extraordinary promise that we have. Notice it says in verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Right there, he said, I want you to go to the other side before me, which means I expect to come. Amen. And if I expect to come, I expect you to be there. They had a promise that God was going there, Jesus was going there, and he expected to see them, which means he was able to get them across. Amen. And the value of extraordinary promises that we have, we looked at, I am with you, he says in the scriptures. Amen. He says, I will not fail thee. He says, I will not forsake thee. So we have the promises, and we've got to value the promises that Jesus Christ gives us. Amen. Then the second tip we saw was down in verse 23. To prepare for the winds and waves of life, we got to consider the vitality in ordinary prayer. Amen. Notice verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, this is Jesus, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And we saw that sometimes we're going to get apart to pray. Sometimes we're going to get alone to pray. I'm not knocking corporate prayer and praying with someone else. That's great. That's good. Amen. And we should do that. Sometimes we just got to get alone and pray. Sometimes we've got to get apart and pray when nobody else is around and pour our heart out to God and say, God, this is what's going on in my life. God, these are the problems I have. God, this is the predicament I find myself in. God, this is the place that I am right now. I am discouraged, Brother Matt. I am depressed. I am down. I am disgusted about this situation. Pour your heart out. What am I saying? Get alone to pray and get apart to pray. That's what Jesus said. That's what he did. Amen. And so before the winds and waves even came, he did those things. And those are some tips for us. Amen. Get apart to pray. Get alone to pray. There's vitality in ordinary prayer. Amen. Why? Because we're praying to an extraordinary God. Ordinary prayers to an extraordinary God can do some wonderful things. Then we talked about tip number three, prepare for the winds and the waves because of the velocity of the ordinary problems. Notice verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So whilst Jesus Christ was apart and whilst he was alone praying, the ship was now in the midst of the sea. The scene changes from the tranquility of Jesus to the tribulation of the disciples. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and for the wind was contrary. And we saw the velocity of these problems, and we saw that when problems come, they normally come unannounced. They don't knock at your door and say, may I come in? They're intruders, amen. They'll come right in. You don't have to say, well, nobody's at home. We're not going to answer the door for you, problem. Problems don't work like that. Problems come in whether you want them to come in or not, whether they're announced or not. Hey, whether they're controllable or not. By the way, most times they become uncontrollable. These winds and waves were uncontrollable. They were in the midst of the sea. That means they were halfway through their journey. How oftentimes you think the sailing is smooth and things are going well just for the bottom to drop out. Amen. What am I saying here? Problems come unannounced. They come uncontrollable and they come unexpectedly. I mentioned none of us like to order problems. We just don't. Amen. Brother Matthew, you're on your trip now. Have you ordered your share of problems? And I want this trip, this deputation trip, to be bad. I want to have 4 flats. I want to run out of gas 4 times. I want to make sure that we don't have any place to eat or sleep, at least twice. I want to make sure we have no laundromat facilities at all, so we have to wear dirty clothes. Amen. Did you put your list in? Rebecca, did you put yours in? I want to make sure that we have no food for the children. No vitamins. The children put theirs in. We don't want any vegetables. Amen. And
We don't do that, amen. This came as they were in the midst of the sea. The waves and the wind were contrary. It was in their face, amen. And so we find that problems come for you and problems come for me at a velocity that's uncontrollable. They're unannounced, they're uncontrollable, and they're unexpected. Then we come up to point number four, the vicinity of the extraordinary person, amen. I like this. As they were in the midst of the storm, Jesus was alone praying, and he comes walking to them on the sea. And notice what it says down there in verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And we see Jesus coming to them in this fourth watch. And we found out that when problems come to you and I, and the winds and the waves of adversity rise up, time is no problem for him. It was between 3 and 6 a.m. Now, if you call me between 3 and 6 a.m., I will probably be sleeping. And I may not respond as quickly as you want. I may not even answer the phone if I don't hear it, amen. On occasion, I have been known to leave it downstairs, amen. On occasion, I've been known to leave it somewhere and the battery's about to die and it goes off. And I don't even know you called until the next day. But time was no problem for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was between 3 and 6, the fourth watch there. We found out also, not only did he find them, he found them. Not only did he find them, he walked on water to them. Amen. Distance was no problem. Time was no problem. Obstacles were no problem. How many of you would walk on water to get to somebody? Number one, you can't. Number two, you probably wouldn't if you could. Jesus had to go quite a distance to get to them. And so we find here the vicinity of the extraordinary person of Christ. Amen. He was close at hand, and he will always be close at hand for you and I. Amen. Then we saw verse 26, the vision of ordinary people. We saw their review of the situation. They saw him walking, and then we saw their reasoning of the situation. They thought he was a ghost. And their reaction, they cried out. Notice verse 26, and it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. What would you think? It's definitely not in the shape of a boat. He's definitely not in the shape of a submarine. He's in the shape of a person. What would you think? It's not a whale. Whales don't walk on the sea. It's not a stingray. What would you think? And what would you do? I don't know about you, but I would probably cry out for fear too. I'd put the bravest disciple up in the front. You handle this. Amen. But you know you can't jump in the water. And so what do? You cry out for fear. Amen. And so we saw their review of the situation, their reasoning, and their reaction. They cried out. They've got no place else to go. Sometimes when the problems overwhelm you and overcome you and the winds and the waves are there, you've got no place to go. You just can cry. That's all you can do because you can't do it. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. And you feel like everything is coming down upon you. Sometimes you just start crying. They cried out. They were that afraid. We're talking about grown men here. Who says that men don't cry? These are experienced fishermen. This is not your everyday fisherman at the sea that is just trying to reel in some little thing. These are experienced fishermen. And so the vision of ordinary people, which brought us to the voice of the extraordinary person, amen, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. In other words, we should listen up, and we hear the voice of Jesus Christ, cheer up. Listen up and cheer up, amen. Jesus Christ always comes to us in the times of adversity to offer us comfort and to offer us some cheer, to say, hey, don't worry about it, I am with you, always. Listen up and cheer up when Jesus comes, amen. He said, be of good cheer, it means have courage. Imagine Jesus saying, be of courage, to men just screaming like girls. Be of good courage. And he probably said it a lot. Who was that that screamed the loudest? Was it you, Peter? Stop that. Cheer up, man. It's me. I can just see it now. Maybe it was Doubting Thomas that did it. Cheer up, Doubting Thomas. I knew that was you. But then we see the voice of the ordinary person in verse 28. Peter, a man like us, gets a little daring. And a bit depending. And by the way, you and I can be daring at times. And we should be depending on the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about foolishly. I'm not talking about tempting the Lord. But I am talking about when the problems and the winds and the waves come and they're more than what we can handle, we should always call on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Him and say, Lord, I'm going to be daring and trust You with this problem. Lord, I'm going to be depending on You to sustain me. We should be daring and we should be depending. Notice what it says down there. Verse 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. We talked about this on Wednesday. Peter wants to get off a perfectly good boat and go to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with the boat. Nothing wrong with the boat at all. It's just tossed about with the waves. And we came up with scenarios as to why Peter would want to get out of the boat. Some of the scenarios ended like this. Maybe the boat might sink. Maybe it's calm where Jesus is at, but not where Peter is at. Maybe it's this. If Jesus is not going down, neither will I. And he seems to be doing pretty good walking on water. Maybe it was this. Jesus was not panicking, but at peace. And so I want to be at peace like Jesus. But you know, you really just need to take it literally. Notice what it says again. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. Maybe he just wants to go to Jesus. Maybe he just wants to go to Jesus. That's my friend. That's my Savior. That's my Master. Maybe he just wants to get close to the Lord again. Hey, it's been a rough trip here. Halfway through, the midst of the storms have come up. The winds have come up. The waves come up. I just want to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always comforted me before. He's always consoled me before. He's always been there for me. I see it's him. I recognize him. Remember another time when they were fishing, he dropped off his clothes and jumped in the sea and went to Jesus. Maybe he just wants to go to the Lord. You know, sometimes it would behoove us to just want to be with the Lord, to just want to be with Him. No agenda, no problems going on, no predicaments in my life. I just want to be with Him. By the way, you ought to wake up every morning and have that desire. I just want to be with Him. I just want to go to the Lord. I just want to open up my Bible. I just want to pray to Him. I just want to seek His face. Early will I seek Thee, the psalmist said, amen. Morning, noon, and night will I pray, the psalmist said, amen. Hey, great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I just want to go to Jesus. Maybe he just wanted to go to the Lord because it says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee. But you happen to be on the water. Notice that. Bid me come unto Thee. On the water. Amen. And so that's where we left off last week. And we're going to finish this area out here over the next several moments. After all that, Jesus was the one that told them to get in the ship and go to the other side. We don't know what prompted Peter to want to say, I want to come to you. But I do know this, winds and waves, adversity had come up and they were a little frightened. And I imagine Jesus not being panicked at all, but at peace and walking on the very thing that the disciples were afraid of. And so it brings us to our next point here, which is the victory by an extraordinary pronouncement. The victory by an extraordinary pronouncement. Peter's decision comes instantly. And by the way, you will find Peter having a lot of instant decisions. Notice verse 29, and he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to do what? To go to Jesus. So as Peter has come out of the ship, he walks on the water to go to Jesus. What was his desire? His desire was, let me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29 says, and he said, come, Jesus said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. By the way, we'll never do the impossible until we step out by faith. Till we step out by faith, we'll never do the impossible. Amen. And we've got to step out at the word of God. Did he say come? Then we ought to come. If he says come, come. What stops us from stepping out by faith oftentimes? Peter here is walking out. Fears are put aside and Jesus says, come, and he's coming. Amen. And what stops us sometimes? Maybe it's a wife that stops us from stepping out. Sometimes it's a husband that stops us. Sometimes it's a child. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's people. By the way, the fear of man bringeth a snare still. Amen. Sometimes it's sports and hobbies and pets. If Jesus says, come, what should we do? Come. Did he ask? Yes. Do we ask God for certain things? And when he says, come, guess what we ought to do? You'll never step out over the winds and waves of life if you don't come. If he says, come, you ought to come. He said, bid me come. And if Jesus said, come, he ought to come. The Bible says when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water. But notice the end, to go to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come. I wonder how many times Jesus has said, come to us, to help us, but we refuse to come. We refuse to come. Come find peace. Come find rest. Come get in my word. Brother Matthew, I don't know if you had the problem, but just come to church. Just come to church, amen. Why? That's where the peace is at. Come to Jesus. Sometimes if we're going to come to Jesus and come down out of the ship, we got to come down out of human thinking, amen. It's not what you think, amen. Jesus can do the impossible, and he can do the extraordinary if we just come, and sometimes we've got to get past human thinking. Well, if I do come, what's going to happen? Don't worry about it. Just come. Got to come past human thinking. Sometimes I got to get out of the ship of human reasoning. Well, it's not going to always be reasonable to get out of a perfectly good ship. Amen. 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 Hey, it didn't seem perfectly reasonable for me to start this church when I did. I was going through surgeries. I had back issues. I was on my back more than I was on my feet. It's not always going to be reasonable. Sometimes we've got to come down out of the ship of human thinking and human reasoning, human analyzing. When it comes down to the winds and the waves of life, it's always good to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always bad not to trust him. It's always bad not to trust him. Why? You find the same winds and waves of life still there with you having no ability to control them. Amen. But with Jesus, I have prayer. I have hope. Amen. Jesus told you to come preach, guess what you ought to do? Preach. If he called, told you to come teach, guess what you ought to do? Teach. If he said surrender, guess what you ought to do? Surrender. If he said serve, guess what you ought to do? Serve. If he said sing, guess what you ought to do? Sing. Whatever Jesus said do, you ought to do it. By the way, if he said get saved, guess what you ought to do? Get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. By the way, young and old can get saved. What's going on with Peter's here? With his decision, he had to go beyond human thinking, human reasoning, and human analyzing to jump out of this ship and come down out of the ship. Notice what it says, verse 29. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, that means he actually did it. He walked on water. For a moment in time, what Jesus Christ was allowed to do, Peter was allowed to do. He was able to suspend the gravitational forces of water and walk on water to go to Jesus. May I submit to you that Peter did not say, let me walk on water. He never said, let me walk on water. He said, let me come to you, and you happen to be on the water. And the Bible says when he walked on water, to go to Jesus. Why? There was a distance between he and Jesus Christ, and to get to him, he had to walk on the water. But his goal and his request was not to walk on the water. Nobody in their right mind wants to try to walk on water. Now, in your wrong mind, you might want to do it, but you're not going to get far. Peter's decision. But notice verse number 30. The victim of ordinary perception. The victim of ordinary perception. I want you to notice Peter's despair. Notice what it says in verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous. But is a small word with a big importance. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. As long as he was walking on the water to go to Jesus, he was fine. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Peter's despair. Peter has 20/20 vision going to Jesus until that word in verse 30, but appears. I want you to notice his eyes were on the distractions. He saw the wind, and in order for him to see the wind, he had to take his eyes off of Jesus. He actually saw the effects of the wind. You and I see the effects of the wind in our lives also, and we have to see the effects of the wind. Oftentimes, that take our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem for you becomes bigger than Jesus Christ, and no problem is bigger than Jesus Christ. Amen. You know it's true. He actually began to see the effects of the winds. When you and I see the effects of winds in our lives, we must take our eyes off Jesus to do so. Off the stable one, off the steady one, off the steadfast one, off the solid one, and put them on the winds and the waves of shifting and sinking sand of society and problems of life. Say, preacher, what is that like, getting your eyes on distractions? You know, your eyes can deceive you. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. My wife and I years ago went to an amusement park. And I'm all about getting my stomach turned upside down. And we walked by this one attraction that was just the simplest looking thing. It was a house. But there was no normal house. I think I might have shared this with y'all years ago. The house actually turned around. And so if you could imagine this being a house, the house went like this, and it turned around in a circle like that. And I thought, that's the ride for me. I'm going to get inside that house. It's going to turn me upside down. Amen. Everybody's change is going to fall to my left. No, I didn't think that. Amen. I was thinking, wow, what is that going to be like? The house turns upside down, and I'm inside it. And so we went in. I don't know if my wife went in there or not. She might have. I know me and the teenagers did for sure. And we went inside this house wondering, okay, what's going to happen? And you sat on a bench. And as you sat on a bench, the house began to rock like this. Have you seen those rides when it gets higher and higher? And as it got to a point, it went all the way up to the top. And guess what everybody did? Everybody threw up. Everybody got dizzy. And as it did like this and it turned upside down, everybody's, And then it went around several times and you were just like, whoa, what's going on here? And here's the key. We never moved. We never moved. We were on a stationary seat. The only thing that moved was the house. And our eyes made us believe that we were actually upside down. So much so the folks' stomachs were like, doing all this. Because I said, they didn't strap us down. We're going to fall and bust our head. No suit is joining. They didn't strap us down because we didn't move. But the house moved. And it made you think that you were moving. Y'all know what it's like when you had a stoplight and somebody's moving and you're not moving. You think, what's going on here? And you think you're moving? The whole house turned around. And we thought, whoa, that was the simplest ride that got my stomach turned upside the worst. Amen. I never moved, but the whole entire house moved around me. And it had books and shelves and all this. It looked like a regular inside house. And as it moved, you thought you were moving. What am I saying? Your eyes can play tricks on you. It can distract you. Peter took his eyes off of the stable one, off of the solid one, off of the Son of God who sustained him, and began to look at the volatile winds and the waves that were moving and going all about. Jesus was stable. Everything about him was moving, and he shifted from the stable to the unstable. Hence, his focus is broken. Hence, he's getting ready to sink. Just like being in that house that we were in. We take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going down real fast. The house turned and we did not, but it seemed as though it did. It caused us to get dizzy. And when you put your eyes on distractions, you go around in circles in your mind and you're defeated before you even start. Because what you see can distract you. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Well, when he took his eyes off distractions, he was engulfed by those same distractions. The Bible says, beginning to sink. Notice it says beginning to sink. He's beginning to go down. It doesn't say that he sank, amen. He's not without hope, amen. My mouth is still open. I can still call for help, amen. Some folks wait till they're just down and out, amen. He has not gone under yet. He has the opportunity to get assistance. Many times we may look around at our surroundings and at situations out of control or other saints and take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and begin to go down. We need to recognize what's happening and regain our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Matthew spoke about that in Sunday school. If not, we will go down. Sometimes we'll be down, and sometimes we'll stay down, amen, out of the will of God. And we need to get our eyes back on Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but for service, for a sound mind, for serenity, and take our eyes off of the surrounding situations and other saints. By the way, what do you often look at when you're going through difficulties, Jesus or your problems? What you look at is where you will go oftentimes. If you look at your problem, you'll often think you can solve those problems. And you'll try to solve those problems on your own. And God never created you to be able to handle extraordinary problems. Matter of fact, he don't even want you to handle ordinary problems. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Jesus wants to be a part of everything we do. These problems that can envelop our lives and just take us under, these problems that start off as ordinary problems that can turn into extraordinary problems, Jesus Christ wants to help with those winds and waves of life. Peter here steps out. But beginning to sink, he does the only logical thing that he can do. Verse number 30, he cries out, Lord, save me. Notice verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. The simplest prayer in the Bible, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, Lord, save me. Desperate predicaments call for desperate prayers, amen. And that's normally our problem. Normally when our faith is weak, our prayers are weak, but when our faith is weak, our prayers must be strong. It doesn't take much to pray. But God can answer a weak prayer and do something with it in a strong way. A weak prayer is better than no prayer at all. Imagine if he never said, Lord, save me. Think Jesus would have saved him? We don't have to think. We know already. He did. But I'll tell you this. Jesus is not interested in saving anybody that doesn't want to be saved. I didn't stutter. He wants to save people, yes. But if you don't want to be saved, guess what? He's not going to save you against your will. No, I don't want to be saved. Let me drown. Got your wish. Lord, why didn't you save me? You said you could do it on your own. Well, you knew I was going to drown. Well, you knew I could help you. Why didn't you ask? Amen. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? The victim of ordinary perception. Sometimes your perception and my perception can get the best of us when the waves and the winds of adversity rise up. Amen. Peter was told to come. He came. He walked on the water. He was going to Jesus. That's where he wanted to be. But when he saw the winds, when he saw the waves, boisterous, he was afraid, the Bible says, beginning to sink. He took his eyes off the one who could and put them on the eyes of one who couldn't. But I'm so glad he had sense enough to say, Lord, save me. But then notice in verse 31, the victor for the ordinary pedestrian. The victor for the ordinary pedestrian. I like the first two words, and immediately. You know, when you cry to Jesus Christ, he's drowning you on the spot. Now, you may not find his hand upon you when you think it ought to be on you, but it's always on you when it needs to be on you. And immediately, and I like that. The moment you and I set out to pray, God is immediately setting out to answer our prayers. Immediately. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. The victor for the ordinary pedestrian. The Bible says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, which lets you know Jesus was right there. He was not far off from him. He is not far off from you and I are either, especially in times of imminent sinking, under problems and pressures of life, under winds and waves of adversity. Peter had little faith, what got him walking on the water, but faith is needed to continue walking on the water. And in the midst of the winds and the waves, he looked to Jesus once again, whom he had taken his eyes off of, and said, "Lord, save me." The same one that said, "Come," is the one that could catch him. And he did. And he did. What does that mean to you and I? I don't care what winds and waves that you and I are going through. Jesus Christ can catch us. He can carry us if need be. Sometimes we have to walk through them. This instance, they walk back together. And I'm so glad. Notice what it says in verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Verse 32, the validation of our extraordinary prince. He is who he said he is. And by the way, the Bible says who he is. But I like what Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" The Bible says who he is. He's the Savior. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's Jesus. He's Christ. He's Lord. But whom say ye that he is? Is he the one that can carry you through the winds and waves of adversity? Is he the one that can help you to rise above that which you cannot control? Whom say ye that I am? The validation of our extraordinary prince, verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, that means that Peter came with him. Notice the wind ceased. The very thing that seemed to threaten them ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now many believe that Jesus allowed these winds and these waves to come upon them to further solidify in their mind who he was. He was the Christ. He was the master of the wind. He was the master of the waves. He was the master of the sea. He was who he said he was. And many believe that he had to validate to the 12 who he was because of this. He on purpose told them to get in the ship and go to the other side. He on purpose said, "I'd meet you there." He on purpose knew that there would be winds and waves come up. He knew that there would be adversity there. He went to them. Peter called to him. Peter did walk on water. The other 11 did not, but he did. And many believe that he demonstrated that to prove and solidify in their minds and their hearts who he was. Because remember, he asked them, "Whom say ye that I am?" They were coming to the ship. The wind ceased. Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Notice this, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." If you can do that, you are truly the Son of God. You are who you say you are. If you can let Peter walk on water, you're who you say you are. If you can walk on water yourself, you are who you said you are. If you can do these things, you are who you are. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I know what people have said, but I believe it myself now. My friend, if you've not tested God and seen him work, you don't really know the full capacity of his power. I don't believe I fully know the capacity of his power. I don't think we ever will know, but I know certain things that he can do because he's done them for me. I know there's certain things even he's enabled me to do because he's done it for me, and I can tell you he's done it. And I can tell you I trust him with it. But guess what? You can't trust him with that you've not trusted him with. When your eyes are off Jesus beginning to sink, it usually starts with the Bible promises that we found back in the early verse there. When he said, "Go to the other side." Bible reading may slip. Bible prayer life may slip. Maybe you don't cry to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me." Maybe it goes with hearing and preaching and teaching. And maybe it goes with your church attendance. Maybe participation and involvement. Maybe half-heartedness. Maybe half-heartedness in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this, friend. You need to know that he is God, and you need to prove him yourself. Don't live off the preacher's blessings, amen. Well, preacher, God bless preacher. What did God do for you? You trust him. You prove. Peter got out, and Peter can say forevermore, "I know what it feels like to walk on water." The other 11 have no idea what it feels like. They know how it feels to sink. But Peter walked on water. If you notice your eyes slipping off of Jesus and on the winds and waves of your life, if you see your ordinary problems escalating into extraordinary problems, and you know you're just an ordinary person beginning to sink like Peter, then you need to do what Peter did and go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you fail and falter in your walking on the water, do what Peter did. Go to the extraordinary God that can immediately catch you. We give Peter credit. At least he got out the boat. Some folks don't even get out the boat. He walked on that which was dangerous. He walked on that which was frightening. If you're beginning to sink under the load of your problems, regain your focus. Call on Jesus. If it's for salvation, he'll save you. If it's a situation, he'll secure you. Either way, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. And you, maybe you went down, but you may be sunk. You know that Jesus can revitalize and revive you? He can pick you up out of the water. Amen. You might have been underwater a long time, unconscious. Amen. He can still resuscitate your life for Christ. Maybe you were walking on water at one time, and you were used to be. I used to serve God, but I went down, and I never came back up. Don't stay out of the will of God. Get back up. Let him help you. Peter said, Lord, save me before it's too late. Maybe you waited too late. It's never too late. Jesus is always in the resuscitation business. Beginning to sink, Peter cried. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I don't care where you're at, whether you're walking on the water, you need Jesus to sustain you. If you're beginning to sink, you need Jesus to pull you back up and secure you. If you're sunk, you need Jesus Christ to help you out. If you're not saved, you're still not beyond hope because Jesus still saves. He still saves. And whatever walk of life the winds and the waves have you in, they will blow. They will pick up. They will come uncontrollably, unannounced. And they will come at an area where you will never expect them. They'll come unexpectedly. And when they come, sometimes they come in the midst of a good time, time of popularity, time of promise, time of plenty. Hey, did it not happen with Joseph in the years of Egypt? They had all those years of plenty. Guess what? The winds and the waves of adversity came. And you may be sitting pretty right now, but the winds and the waves are right around the corner. What will you do when they come? I suggest you go alone, apart, and pray like Jesus did. I suggest you hold on to the promises and value the promises. I am with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll not fail thee before the winds ever come up. And trust the living Savior that he can enable you to walk on that which blows against your life, because it will. It will. If you're not saved, I encourage you, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior today. You say, preacher, what's the hurry? The hurry is there's a real place called hell. And that's for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want anybody to go there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You don't want anyone to go there. That's why Jesus Christ came. But Christian, waves and winds will come. We're not exempt. Let Jesus Christ help you before you sink. Let him help you when you start sinking. And let him help you even after you're sunk. It's still time to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and I'm looking around. Father, we can look at Peter's life and what we can see that the things that happened to him could very well happen to us. But Lord, we are so thankful that Peter gives us an example that we can do the impossible. But it's not the impossible we should be after. It is the Savior. It is you that we should be after. Peter said, bid me come unto thee. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. That when the winds and the waves of adversity come, they'll not affect us as adversely as they could without us coming to you. And we come to you, Lord. Help us to allow you to steady us and to stable us and to secure us before the winds and the waves come. And God, I pray that if we're sinking, if we're standing, or if we're sunk, Lord, we will call on you to give us the encouragement that we need. The winds and the wave will come and help us to trust in you to get us through it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and looking around. How many would say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not sure. Would you pray that I can be sure that heaven is my home? I'm concerned about it. I don't want to go to hell. I would like to go to heaven, but I'm just not positive that I'm going. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand up real quick. You can slip it back down. I just want to pray for you today. Amen. You may put it down. I see that one. Anyone else? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Well, Christian, next one is to you. Maybe you're walking on the water and things are going good. Keep your focus. Maybe you were walking on the water, you lost your focus and you're starting to sink. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you like Peter did. Perhaps, Christian, you're sunk. You didn't call. You thought you could handle it and you're underwater. Jesus still loves you. He wants to help you. Ask him to help you today. Say like Peter, a short prayer, Lord, save me. Lord, work in my heart. Lord, do it only you can do. I want to come to you. Whatever it is, let God speak to your heart. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all stand to your feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and looking around. Maybe you raise your hand saying you're not sunk, but you're sinking. Maybe you're walking on water. You want to be stable. Maybe you're sunk already. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to help you. Maybe you're doubting whether you're born again, doubting you're saved. Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you're saved. The Bible is the Word. He told Peter, come. Peter came. Peter started walking on the water. And perhaps you need to just come today and say, Lord, secure me. Lord, stable me. Lord, anchor me. Lord, settle me. Whatever the situation may be. Why don't you come this morning? Let God speak to your heart. Peter's a very good illustration of what can happen in life. You and I can be sailing across the sea. The winds can be contrary at a moment's notice. And we need the stable foundation of Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ to help us with the winds and the waves that come of adversity, the problems that are there. Jesus Christ wants to prove to you that he is who he said he is. And he can do whatever it takes to get you out of the winds and waves of adversity. He can help you. He can strengthen you. He can make you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's his job. He not only saves, but he secures. When I survey the wondrous cross, have your problems gotten the best of you? Give it to Jesus. You're doubting your salvation? Tell it to Jesus. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved and sure that you're secure. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the illustration to see ordinary people like us. Lord, oftentimes we have ordinary problems that seem to escalate like the winds and the waves. And it's extraordinary problems out of our control, unannounced. God, we need to have that time alone to pray. We need that time of calling to you for mercy, calling to you in grace. Lord, I do pray that as we do go through the roads of adversity and the winds and the waves of life, our eyes can distract us. Situations can engulf us. God, help us to do what Peter did. Call on you to save us. We know you're never far away. You're just a shout away. You'll be there because you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You said you'd never fail us. And so, Lord, as these things happen, help us to recognize and realize ordinary problems are nothing when it comes to your extraordinary power. And help us to call upon you steadfastly, knowing that we can get immediate relief and immediate help. Lord, I do pray for the one that raised their hand. Give that person assurance that, Lord, they're a child of God. And help them to recognize and realize you love them, you died for them, and you want to secure them as well as save them, that they may know that they have eternal life. Thank you so much for meeting with us today. Thank you for our missionary family. And I pray you bless them and their endeavors. And Lord, guide them along their pathway. And thank you. Dismiss us with your blessings. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.